Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, July 1st. I am going to be honest here. I should always be honest, right? When people say that, don't you just think in the back of your mind, well, you should always be honest. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. This is my fourth take, so it is not one take Wednesday, but I'm going to try hard not to fixate on what I say, especially if it's really stupid. Just let it go. All right, here we go. We're in Exodus chapter 5 today. Moses and Aaron have gone to Pharaoh, and they are going to talk to Pharaoh about wanting to leave on a little three-day journey, not even a complete exodus. And Pharaoh says no. In fact, he makes the work harder on the people. Now, this begs the question. When we encounter difficulty in pursuing God's will, how do we respond? You know, in chapters 3 and 4, God is like giving Moses a pep talk. I'm going to be with you, and don't worry. I am who I am. The God of the universe is with you. I've got these signs that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to tell you what to say and do. And here's your brother alongside. What he didn't mention was that Pharaoh was going to say no, and that all the difficulty of the next few chapters was going to ensue. But when I begin to think about how I prefer smooth sailing in my life, which I think is right and normal, that if I focus in on our Lord Christ and say, was his life all smooth sailing? Did he encounter difficulty in following God's will? The answer is yes. And so, Lord, we submit even now to you. Through your word, would you remind us that when we're in difficult situations, it doesn't have to mean we're outside your will. Give us the strength that we need. Teach us to do your will. May your good spirit lead us in level paths. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to read verse 22. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they can hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I do not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you asking the people to come away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave an order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. "You are no longer to supply the people with the straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." All right, we're moving over to verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought this trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me?" Remember how I've been talking a lot about dependence upon the Lord and obedience to him, even when it's difficult? Moses is right in the middle of this lesson. "Okay, Lord, I have to depend on you, but I just want to ask, is this why you brought me here? Is this why you sent me?" I think about Noah and the difficulty he encountered along the way in following God's will, or Elijah or Elisha. And look to Stephen, the first martyr, who, even in the midst of the people crying out against him and stoning him, he looked to heaven. Lord, when we encounter difficulty in pursuing your will, help us to respond with faith and help us to respond with dependence upon you. All right, we're moving on over to Proverbs chapter 21. I'll be reading verses 1 through, I think it's 11, it may be 12. Let me check right quick. Well, let's go on to 12. All right, here we go. This first verse, oh man, it gets me so much. It reminds me that yes, the kings and the presidents of the world have power, but ultimately, you know who has power? God has power. And then the second verse, ooh, this is the one I was talking about that has undone me. It's about how we think we know what is right, but the Lord is the one who weighs the heart. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. All the man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. The violence of the wicked will drag them away, for they refuse to do what is right. The way of the guilty is devious, but the conduct of the innocent is upright. Better to live on the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. The wicked man craves evil. His neighbor gets no mercy from him. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge. The righteous one takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. I'm going to go down and read verse 30 as a bonus. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together, as we soak it in, as we ask the Lord to change our hearts. I thought that these were good bookends. The fact that no one's plans can succeed against the Lord, and pairing that with the first verse, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he can direct it like he directs a waterway wherever he pleases. Another thing that stuck out to me, I mentioned earlier in verse 2, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. How often have you just said, man, it just seems right to me? Well, we still need to do some evaluation. Is what seems right to us actually correct? I want to turn this on a positive note. We can actively open ourselves up to God's wisdom. Lord, you weigh the heart. You also transform the heart. And so even though I see something in one way, Lord, I know that I'm putting myself in your word and I'm in prayer asking you to guide me. And I'm looking to Christian counsel from others around me so that you might course correct, that you might help me. One more point. In verse 9, the word quarrel comes up again. It was hilarious. Better to live on the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. I think that's a good lesson for each of us. Remember in verse 3 of chapter 20, every fool is quick to quarrel. Today, as we end, I want to read from the Diary of Private Prayer and then end with the blessing that Dr. Hull wrote. This is from the second day, the morning prayer. Will you pray with me? O God, my Creator and Redeemer, I cannot go into this day unless you accompany me with your blessing. Thank you that it is your gracious will to make use of me, even at my weakest, to fulfill your mighty purpose for the world. Let my life today be a channel through which at least a little of your love and compassion may reach the lives of those around me. O blessed Jesus, you used your own life for the redemption of your human brothers and sisters. You gave no thought to your comfort or earthly gain, but you filled up your hours and days with deeds of selfless love. Give me grace today to follow the road that you walked, and to your name be all the glory and the praise, even to the end. Christ, would you go before us to prepare a way of service? O Lord Christ, would you go behind us to gather up our efforts for your glory? Christ, would you go beside us, even in difficult situations, even when it's not smooth sailing, as our leader and our guide? Christ, would you go within us as comfort and stay? May the Lord Christ go beneath you to uphold you with everlasting arms, and may he go above you to reign as your Lord supreme. We pray it all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.